It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Saturday Night Talk Time on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast.
But the whistle goes now. Delight for Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League for the first time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on podcast, the Sutton Podcast. We're an association with Lucky Star Gin. I'm your host, Mike, and with me on our panel today, we have Dan and Mystic Paul. We'll come back to that in a moment. In this episode, we are going to be covering the away draw at MK Dons, which in isolation was actually a great game for the neutrals. It was a high-scoring match, and as I said in my little promo thing, it wasn't a high-scoring match, men's match that I've been to. I asked the question on my little Happy Crappy video. No one got it yet, and we'll see if we can work it out later. I know what the answer is. I'm not asking you to work it out. I do know what the answer is. Don't forget, everyone, like, share, retweets, all the rest of it. It is really, really good. I'm getting to a point now where I'm making sure I'm liking or commenting on everything. It's like, oh, I'm running out of time here, so I feel like really big and famous all of a sudden. Like Dan, but we're gonna dive in. Firstly, Mystic Paul. Anyone who doesn't know the reason, all he had to do last week was enter the prediction league to secure his victory. He did consider not entering until I pointed out that if Andy got maximum points, then Paul would lose on basically goal scored, which mirrored our team. So he did enter. You got some points. Oh, you're getting points actually, yeah, because you got a point for entering, but. Did you get any of the goals right?
Yeah, I didn't get four, Mike. No, not that Mystic.
Yeah, no one did, funny enough. But how has life been for you? It was a month ago since we had you on. How have you been?
Was it good? Yeah. I've done the boots, Mike. I thought I'd better stick a couple of shifts in before the fans game next week. So I had a bit of nine-a-side action and run out a bit. So, survived, I think is the best way to call it.
I
enjoyed it.
I still haven't even been out for a run. I have struggled getting up and down the stairs, so I have no idea what's going to happen. But I'll put a kill. That's probably about my only contribution. And Dan, it was after a high-scoring match away that we had you on last time, 2 months ago.
Yeah, Notts County.
A few things happened in between.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, how have you been?
Yeah, not bad. Mega busy at work, but enjoying my hobbies, like going and watching my football team.
Thinking to yourself sometimes, is this really Sutton match I've come to? Because they seem to be doing quite well. Neil was supposed to join us, but his wife informed him that he had other plans. And as everyone knows, that trumps any football-related incident. He did ask me to mention that with the draw, that means he's unbeaten on the pod, should he have been on. But I'm saying he can't actually have that because there was the Phantom episode that didn't actually record and I couldn't rescue. And that was after a loss. And he claimed then that Well, I've never lost, so you can't have both. You'll have to choose. So we'll find out from which he wants to choose. Club news, absolutely nothing of note has happened to the football club at all that I want to talk about. Obviously, we're going to have fun next season in the National League, so that'll be good. And the retain list is coming out tomorrow. Well, he's doing the retain list tomorrow. I don't know whether it's actually coming out, but the retain list is being done tomorrow. I am kind of glad it'll be a week or so before I discuss it on the end-of-season review one, so I get a chance to get over some of the names that I have a feeling will be on it. Obviously, I don't know anything, but there's some feelings. Podcast news. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago, there's players, directors, management, and staff that listen, which freaks me out. And now I can have players' parents to the listeners, because I was stopped to be told that someone really enjoyed the chat I had with Paul Brunson. I was like, oh, lovely. And I listened, it came up on my fingers, a new episode, so I listened, found out it was Ollie's mum. So I was like, oh, right. So I panicking, didn't even find out her name. So hello, Ollie's mum and any other parents. next episode will be the last one, assuming no other celebs jump in and say they want to come on. And we've just today started the players podcast of the podcast player of the season, and it's going to be roughly one round a day. So I can announce the winner next week as well. And plans are being made. The planner's almost dead, but plans are being made for next season. So I don't know what a collective roll of eyes is called, but I can just imagine that's what's happening as everyone is hearing that now. Right. Oh, phew. Right. Thoughts and expectations ahead of kickoff. First of all, no cheating, no inside knowledge. I got 11 out of 11. I don't care no one else plays that game anymore. I got 11 out of 11. How are you feeling, Paul, when you saw the lineup?
I didn't really look too closely at the lineup, to be honest. I thought, you know, it was like, and I don't play your game, but it was, you know, I mean, it was obviously I was hoping for a result, but I remember coming on this podcast in November and saying I thought we were down, and I thought it was amazing that we'd taken it to the last game, but there was no way that. You know, I was. I tell you what, I did more this week was looking at my what the National League tour looked like, and I was getting all excited for next year, seeing where I was going to be going again. So I didn't look too closely at the team, but obviously when they came out, it looked like obviously we were going for it, and quite a strong lineup as well.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you said October maybe that we're down, and you did start to sort of have this little thing of. Oh, you bastards. I remember talking to you months ago saying, you know what this lot are going to do? They're going to take it to the last fucking day. Give us some hope. And you're like, yeah, I bet they do. We should have put money on that.
Should have done.
What were your thoughts on the lineup and your expectations ahead of the game?
I know it was mathematically possible, but I wasn't sure just looking at the longer the week went on. I was like, the more I looked at it, I was like, Crewe Colchester's going to be a draw. It's just going to be a draw. Crewe aren't in good enough form to go and thump someone like Colchester who would be fighting for their lives. We could have got a result at MK. You don't know. You can only do what you can do. But yeah, the longer I looked at it, I was like, they're going to get that point they need. So I was just a bit relaxed going into the game. It's like, look, when I saw the lineups and stuff, it's like, look, let's just get something and make sure we don't finish bottom. I just didn't want to finish stone dead last, because to be honest, the team didn't deserve that with the efforts over the last month or so. I was a bit disappointed not to see Duke McKenna start, actually. I really wanted to see him start and just give us a bit of impetus, and I think he showed that when he came on. I think we paid more attention to MK's lineup, actually, because we were trying to work out how many, if there were resting loads of bodies or not. And we noticed, oh, there's about five changes. And then someone said, yeah, but he's a first teamer. Yeah. He's a regular starter. Oh, crap. So they've actually got stronger from last week. Yeah. Great.
Well, so, yeah. I was one of those who was like, do you know what? The sequence of results we needed wasn't insane. It wasn't you're looking at, oh, if we only win 12-0, then we could do it. It was like, they're not impossible, but they weren't yet. So game started, obviously we were up in the gods, and it does look really different watching football from there, because you can really see a lot more. I don't think I like it, but it was very, very different. And I saw the goals we described, and you both have different views, because obviously I think, Paul, you were watching on the iFollow, and Dan, you were there. I sort of described it as soft goals. We'll start with you, Dan. We'll talk about them both, because they're very similar. And they were right underneath us, not on top of us, underneath us. Mm. But what did you sort of think of the goals? Would you have said they were soft?
They're the sort of goals we have conceded a fair few times this season. I think that's probably a good way to describe them, in that there's little things we maybe could have done to react or to situations and prevent them. There was always that little second, there was always a runner, or the second one was just a straight ball down the line, and that seemed to just stretch us out, and we just never recovered shape or anything from it. Don't get me wrong, MK are a good side, played some really good stuff, certainly out of midfield. They were a bit, we didn't look like a team that was, fighting for our survival, unfortunately. It was just a bit when they both went in.
I'll come to you, Sim, but I thought they carved us open, but I thought that was more on them doing well than us necessarily doing anything horrendous. I know it was simple balls at the end, but they looked and saw the simple balls. So that's what I was like. I don't think it was soft in the preventable, you were saying, but I think it was soft.
I wouldn't have, they weren't dreadful. They weren't the standard sort of ball down the left and just a cross in and someone's there for unmarked for a tap in, which we've done a lot this year. Yeah. It was a combination of maybe we could have reacted or done things a little bit better. They're a good side. End result is it's in the back of the net.
Exactly. But Paul, what was your view watching it and with the replays and the comms?
Yeah, no, I mean, same as you guys, really. I mean, MK Dons are a good side, and the position the game was on, it's a weird one for us, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to be giving it away, but we've actually got to go for it a little bit. So I think the context of the game was an interesting one as well. But we were undone, and we won't get too grumpy, but, we've been poor a lot of the times this year, and a lot of it has been the way we've been undone. And those two goals, I don't think, were too untypical about how we've been undone over the year. So I think, I'm sure we'll have some moans and groans about some of the defensive stuff this year. But actually, I think a lot of that comes from the midfield. I don't think they were, there was two big surprises there, to be honest, in terms of how they went in.
No, I mean, the only other real notable thing of the half, because I don't remember a lot of it, was Josh being subbed. Now, shortly before that, he'd switched wing with Nino, and literally just before that, he had either set someone up or had a great shot as well. I mean, great shot, great chance directly at the keeper. But and then he was subbed, and it was like, what the hell is that? I mean, Dan, were you surprised? I mean, I didn't think he was playing any worse than anyone else on the pitch at that point.
No, I mean, we were a bit surprised by the change, but we obviously worked out that he didn't look obviously injured. He wasn't limping. He jogged off fairly normally, and he had, he'd had an okay day. And he'd had that, like you say, the chance right before he got subbed. I think he teed up Lakin for a chance in behind before that, earlier in the half as well. So he hadn't played badly. So we sort of figured that it was some sort of tactical change. Maybe just at the time, Steve admitted afterwards that he'd got it wrong in midfield and just wanted to get more bodies in there. So,
that was actually quite human of Steve, which he doesn't always do in his interviews, of like, Josh didn't deserve that. he absolutely didn't deserve that, and I really do. Sorry, I was like, oh, blimey. But Paul, what did you think of it?
Yeah, same. I was surprised when it happened, and you thought, when you go through the reasons why it might happen, then you end up falling with it. Must be tactical, won't you? And as you say, Steve mentioned that in the Steve mentioned that in his after game interview. But fair play to him for one, mentioning it, and two, doing it, because you know, you could see, you know, he's quite willing to take a player off. He's been playing well, but for the good of the team, make the decision. So that was good.
Relatively early, I think it was like 30 minutes or something.
About 30th minute, yeah.
Well, on that, I just want to impart again on everyone my football knowledge and experience. And I was chatting to Neil, and we were discussing that how Duke McKenna had come in, and he was a real bright spark, but kind of faded recently and wasn't as good, and no real end product, and blah, blah, blah. That went well. he was really good, even in the first half. But we were still 2-0 down, and I think most people at that point, had Milton Keynes had anywhere for us all to go for a drink, I suspect some people may have left to go for a drink. But TGI Fridays was not the best place. I mean, it was lovely, don't get me wrong. The staff were great, but it was like $6.50 or something a pint. And you're like, okay, it's going to be a dry day today. But when we came out second half, they were at it. And Stephen was in particular just at it. I mean, the first, we had four corners in a row.
Yeah.
I think, again, my memory is never good, but I think, start with you, Paul, I think the fourth one was probably the worst of the lot. But then the ball somehow came back out to Juki, who slotted it in from a tight angle, or maybe that was a different goal, I can't remember. But how were you feeling of the start of the second half, and when we kind of pulled it back to 3-1 with Juki's tight angle goal?
Yeah, we were in pride territory at that point, weren't we? So it was so it was great to see them come out and give it a go. Actually, I mean, you know, they must have been. I mean, they obviously knew they had a slim chance, but it was even slimmer at that point, wasn't it? And they could have just given up and gone home, couldn't they? But actually, to come out like that and to give it a last 45, some of them definitely would have known that it's their last 45 for the club and stuff when they were still. Gave it a go, which was one of the real positives of yesterday. I've been a big fan of Duke McKenna. I'd like to have seen him more. I remember his first couple of games. He looked lively and looked like a game breaker a little bit. That obviously fizzled out a little bit, but then he didn't get much of a sniff for a long time, did he? So
yeah,
obviously he fell out of favour. So it was nice to see him have a crack again and be that game changer.
Absolutely, I mean. Shortly after, we got paid back 3-1, and again, times blur. I think this was a similar goal to the first two, but it looked more annoying this time because I think it was Omar didn't deal with it, just didn't run for the ball. And you're like, you're nearest to it. How can you let that bloke just pelt past you? But obviously, they're knackered. But the news at some point filtered in that Forest Green were winning, which... A lot of people didn't realise that meant we could finish bottom. So there were a lot of people going into the game talking about us surviving and didn't sort of pick up that we could get bottom. But Paul, with you, what were you feeling at 3-1? It didn't stay 3-1 for long, as we know, but what were you feeling at 3-1?
Not much different to any other time, really. But although I was thinking, oh, I really hope they don't get hammered. They don't deserve to get hammered. So that was my main concern, really, that a team who'd certainly over the last couple of months had really put a shift in and turned things around. So to finish it like a 6-1 or something like that would have been really cutting. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was my main thing. It was like, let's finish this last 45 on a high, and let's make sure we don't get duffing. And I think that was the boss's opinion as well, wasn't it? As he tried to midfield.
Yeah, we took Ollie off and Dino on at some point. But Dan, how were you sort of feeling 3-1? And then Bacon pulled it back to 3-2 almost straight away, I think.
Same as Paul, really. Don't get well, to quote the gaffer, don't get pumped. You know, please don't get, you know, I know we'd started the half really well, really strong, really came out, pulled the one back, and went, right, at least we're in a game. And then for them to kind of, but they always had that quality where they could do us on the break. 3-1, it was like, all right, let's keep our heads up and just don't fold. Let's not, you know, collapse under the weight of this all. Let's just keep going. And yeah, then Charlie leathered in the second within, I think it was within a minute or two of them, them scoring. And that just, I think, just gave everyone again just a little bit of a lift. I think if it had gone 5-10 minutes without any kind of response, I think that might have just flattened everybody out and that would have been it. But yeah, Charlie just gave us all a bit more of a lift again with that goal.
I think that's his 8th or 9th for us.
I think it's 8th for the season, yeah.
But insane amount for someone who came in so late.
Yeah, in January.
And Paul, what were you sort of feeling at 3-2?
There might be some more goals. I know that. I remember
it's
that
basketball
time.
Game.
I tell you what, because I was on the iFollow. I tell you what I was thinking at that time. I could hear you guys a lot, actually. It was non-stop, but it was really coming through on the telly.
On the TV, yeah.
So that was nice.
They were loud. And good humour most, actually all the way through, to be fair. We'll talk about some of the humour in a little bit. So they then get a free kick. I had Neil informing me the bloke stepping up to the free kick is a free kick specialist and blah, blah, blah. And he fluffed the free kick and Jenny's jumped up sort of mocking Neil going, I thought you said he was good. Well, went straight back in and 4-2. So we're like, great, lovely. We're never going to get ahead in this game. We were clinging to the fact it was 2-2 for the second half at that point. During the second half, then Juki scored again, and it was a good one. I think we had another chance as well, but I was planning a quiz question at that point, and I was like, my little final quiz question is going to be, who was the last Sutton contracted player to score a goal for us in the EFL? Because obviously Duke, a couple, Lakin, and it was Dion a couple games ago, would have been the last one, would have been. Until Harry ruined my quiz question.
Unlucky.
But we did have also a goal ruled out early. I didn't see it, but apparently it was a foul.
Joe Kizzy at the back post wrestling with a... To be fair, it was one of those where it was 50, half, 6 or 1, half a dozen the other. They were both wrestling each other. And then when the ball came in, Joe kind of shoved him off and he just went sprawling to the turf and that's where it was ruled out.
Fair enough. Took an age for them to update the scoreboard. So very excitedly, we're taking pictures of the scoreboard showing 4-4 instead of 4-3, going, ha, oh, won't this be funny? It's making a difference because it was 4-4. But Harry's goal, how do you remember that? How do you remember celebrating that, Dan?
At that point, you could see we were clearly just throwing everything we had at it. I don't know if the lads knew that Forest Green were winning. I don't know if that was something that was affecting, you know, or they were just simply trying to get something out of the game. At that point, I think you could tell that we, whilst they were still a danger on the break, we actually had the ascendancy in the game. Mm-hmm. We were the team on top. So, it was nice to see, get an equaliser, get something from the game because the efforts deserved it, certainly second half. It meant we didn't finish bottom, which, as I said earlier, the squad didn't, over the last sort of month or two, haven't really deserved that. They've been better than that. They just haven't quite got the wins, enough wins to kind of just haul us out completely out of trouble. So, I was happy that the equaliser went in. And then after that, they carried on trying to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
They wanted to get the 3 points.
I mean, Paul, I was thinking at that time of, hang on a minute, the draw is enough for us to not be 20, to not be last, and we cannot get out of it, so let's just sit back for the draw here. But what were you thinking of Harry's goal for us to make it 4-4?
I was trying to work out whether we needed 7 or 8. In the last 5 minutes. Yeah. No, I mean, nice that he got a goal. He's worked hard up there sometimes, and it's been hard work sometimes for him, isn't it? Nice that he got on the score sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, in isolation, the game itself was actually quite a good game, good result against a side who are wasn't that far away from the autos. They're fourth in the league, and they play really well. I'd say they're probably one of the favourites. Well, they've got to be favourite for the playoffs. Jared, I think it was Jared that said that game itself was a great snapshot of the entire season. Not good enough for the first half, a little bit better, and just didn't do enough in the end. And I was like, actually, yeah, we don't need a season DVD. We'll just put that one game out. There you go, chaps. That's the season. But how are you kind of feeling after the game, Paul? Was it? I mean, a lot of people, I think, had resigned themselves to the fact it was happening. So it was like a very slow death. So it wasn't too much upset. But how were you feeling after the game, Paul?
Yeah. The end was a death by a thousand cuts, wasn't it? And it was like, actually, quite positive about it, really, that, you know, that we'd had a decent run. It looks like we've got a manager who wanted to stay and had got things moving, and things bode well for next season. Actually, didn't take me long to be looking forward to next season and thinking we got a really good chance here. You know, we've learned a lot. We won't have to spend gazillions on infrastructure if we go up again. I think we got a really good chance. So I was I wasn't too down for too long.
Fair enough. I mean, the group moved on very quickly because most of the day has been said talking about flavours of crisps that they prefer rather than doom and gloom about football. It's like, come and join the exciting group where we talk about all things like United and crisps. But Dan, how are you kind of feeling afterwards?
It was weird actually, because like as we said earlier, I'd kind of resigned myself to it. Kind of back, I think I fully thought like that's us done. Was the home game against Salford? We were just so bad that night, and you could just tell there was something wasn't right with the squad. So for me, it's been kind of a bit dead men walking for a while, and just the longer it took for Steve to get the team on sort of doing what he wanted to and get that first win. With every game passing, it was and not getting a win, it was just like, oh. So yeah, I was fully, you know, resigned to it pre-match. I hadn't placed any real kind of emotion or expectation. It was more what will be, but yeah, I was still gutted at the final whistle. A bit down about it, and then actually, though, like, coming out and just seeing as we walked down the stairs, the lads. All the younger lads were there, and the two boys who obviously do the drumming, have been with the drum, were just both sat there, and you could just see it on their face, just that look of devastation, and it was kind of like, yeah. And I think that kind of was was more saddening to me, just to see, you know, the disappointment on other people's faces. I mean, I've been watching this crap 40 years, so... so for me, it's, you know, with that old sort of slightly older cynicism about, you know, worldly cynicism, it's a bit easier, I think, to kind of roll your eyes and go, all right. But yeah, just told them chins up, it'll come again. And you've just got to take it on the chin
and go with it. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've kind of jotted down to go next week really is, the whole National League thing being difficult to get out of. In fairness, yeah, you're right. But we've only ever really tried once. And I think we only half tried. So it only took us one or a half attempt to do it. So you never know. But we mentioned earlier the noise of the group. They just did not stop. And what was funny is where I was, you could see the police and the stewards milling around, kept looking at them, the head steward keep looking and on the radio. And I kind of went, they're all right. They've just been a bit boisterous, but they're all right. They're fine. 100 seconds later, they let off the flare.
Yeah, the smoke bomb, yeah.
Cheers, boys. Just made me look right, twat. But the gallows humour as well. I don't know, did you actually hear the wording, Paul? But for the last 10 minutes at least, it was 10 more minutes in the Football League, 10 more minutes in the football, 9 more minutes in the Football League.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
Then we'll sit the added time and all. 6 more minutes in the Football League. And yeah, it was very, very funny. And yeah, all in good humour and fair play to them. And I think a lot of them, I know everyone goes on about, oh, we're going to lose this many and that many, but I think a lot of them, they're not hooked necessarily on Sutton United. They're hooked on coming to football, meeting all their mates. That probably won't stop. The players were clapped off quite enthusiastically. I know, Dan, there's been various points in the season where you would have absolutely been fuming at the thought of the players being clapped off at the end of the season. Did you agree with it? Were you clapping as well? Because, I mean, the game itself, they deserved to clap.
I mean, I tend to take it more in game by game on stuff like that. Right. I mean, and over the last, since Steve came in, the overall kind of air around the side and their efforts, and as Steve said himself, you know, they've put everything out there to try and stay up, and I can't fault that effort. What went before is what went before. You know, we were shit until Christmas. You know, you can't deny that. We won three games up to December. So they deserve the applause because of their efforts second half. They didn't give up. A lot of teams would have just shut up shop at 3-1 and probably got pumped, probably lost by four or five or six. They didn't. They kept going. They threw everything at it. You could see they gave a... That's the thing with our supporters. If we can see the lads out there just giving everything and giving a shit, then that's half the job, really. Yeah. You know, that we can see that. And they did. You could see that even right at the end at 4-4, like you said, they could have just settled for that because they knew that wouldn't send them bottom. But there was still, you know, we sent Steve up for that last free kick right at the death to try and win the game. Yeah. And that for me was, it was a positive thing. They stayed positive right to the end. They deserve the applause just purely for that, you know, in the context of that game. What happened over the whole season, you can't communicate that at that point. Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment there. But, yeah, I mean, the efforts overall. And for the neutral, it's a great game in isolation. In isolation, if that was, we were in September and we'd got that result, everyone would be going, you're unlucky. You've scored four away at MK Dons and not won the game. And it would be a tinge of disappointment, but a great result. So, yeah, you can't have a pop at people. And besides, even if you wanted to be at that mindset, you're 300 miles away from them up in the gods. They wouldn't know exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
They couldn't hear, yeah.
All they'd have just seen is someone pointing and gesticulating. So.
Yeah. So Harry stayed out the longest. I don't know, Paul, when they cut the...
They showed it.
So he stayed out a very long time, but not before he gave someone else the little push that they needed to go in front of the fans to hear everyone chanting there's only one Clive Baxter. Harry's very good at that, actually, because name dropping again. When I spoke to Ollie's mum, she was like, he loves Harry Smith, and part of it is because at Salford, he was going off down the tunnel because he's a quiet lad, and Harry dragged him back over to send him to you lot to take the applause because of the goals he scored. So it's good. But I mean, are we reading anything into that or not yet?
I am.
Okay. Are you reading into the fact that he's delighted to be here and he's going to give it his all next season? Is that what you're reading into?
Yeah, something like that. No, it looked it did look a little bit goodbye to me, but as you say, I'm guessing. But yeah,
we don't know. I believe there were bids for him, and it was almost all done in January. And he only got sent off, which scuppered the leads because he was banned for so long. Yeah, I believe. I'm not, again, not 100%. Don't know everything, but I believe so. But what did you read into that, Dan? Anything? Nothing?
Bit of both, I think. He's clearly a guy who does care. You know, his efforts, and you can see certainly since Steve's come in, and he's been, and obviously with Eastie being unavailable and Harry in and out of the side, Butch in and out of the side, he obviously turned to him as his skipper. Mm-hmm. And I think the actual giving him the armbands really sort of brought him on quite a fair bit as well, because it's given him that extra responsibility. He's always cajoling, he's always, you know, trying to organise, get the lads going, gee everybody up. He just sort of tries to lead by example. So I think there's a bit of an aspect to that. I mean, you could look at it and just say that he was just gutted and just wanted to kind of do it as a sort of a show of appreciation to everyone that had travelled. But there is also the aspect of, did it look like a goodbye?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could easily interpret that. And I wouldn't be amazed if people are making offers for him in the summer. No. He's a big lad, but he can play a bit. He chips in with goals. He does the dirty stuff. He does the graft. He's a perfect League Two, League Two, League One footballer. Yeah. So yeah. I wouldn't be amazed if people are certainly sniffing around and will be making offers. It's then down to whether he wants to stay or not, I guess. And if the offers are sufficient for the club to say, yeah, you can go.
Exactly.
I hope not.
No, I hope not. I've got this little tiny hope. There was something he said on one interview about not being available for a lot of the season, and that kind of that played on his mind a little bit. And I'm like, I wonder, will that play on your mind enough over the summer to go, no, I'm going to help him get back? I don't know. Just if you listen, Harry, then yeah, you are. I'll say that here away from you because.
How old is it? I can't remember how old he is.
28.
Yeah, he's not quite 30 yet.
Yeah, I'm going to say 28. I don't know why I want to say 28, but I'll say 28. One other quick thing on the sort of after the match. Steve apologised and used the word failed. It was my job to come and do this and I failed and I want to apologise. And I was like, okay, I mean, that seemed a bit dramatic to me. I guess, he said it's several times he's a winner and he wants to win. And all the rest of it, but what did you think there was any need for that? Because we could see what he's been doing. Paul, we'll start with you on that one.
The word took me back a bit, I have to say. Yeah, I thought don't be too harsh on yourself, but I'm not a professional footballer or a professional manager, and certainly not a manager who's coming at January to keep us up. So I guess that was his ultimate goal, and he hasn't done it. But it's not as black and white as that, is it? So what he definitely had a lot to turn around there. He managed to turn a lot of it round. Perhaps would have done with a bit more time. So I think if he went into the bar, he wouldn't be shouted down for being a failure. No chance of that.
No,
so I think he did a terrific job the time he's been in. I think giving him a full season next year, then we'll see what comes out of that, won't we? But and I think mainly, I think vast majority hearing that he's going to stay on for next year are perfectly happy with that. And, I don't think the word failure came across our mind. Well, certainly mine.
One thing I might ask him, depend how it goes, is these decisions that you wish you'd made earlier. What were they? I think I know one of them.
Can make guesses there.
Yeah. What did you kind of think of the whole failure and apologising?
I think that's more because Steve is, as we've come to see, he's a very straightforward, straight talking kind of guy. He doesn't mince his words much. So I think it's more, and also because he's big on his mentality stuff. I think he came in obviously with the job of turning things around and keeping us up. He hasn't done that, so by definition, he has failed. He's also, though, I guess, the sort of guy who would use that to drive him on.
Yeah.
He's not that sort of guy who would wallow in failure. He will, learn from it. He seems that kind of guy. So I didn't read a lot into it. I felt that was just kind of Steve, I'm here to do a job. I didn't do it. Therefore, I have failed. So I don't think he's going to be beating himself up about it or anything like that. But if anything, he'll use it as a, he's just a very plain speaking guy. I think that's mostly what it was.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I kind of picked up on it is he doesn't strike me as the kind of person just to say things to appease fans or anyone. Really, just kind of, I'm just paying lip service for what you want to hear. And as Paul said, I don't think anyone had kind of went, oh, well, you failed. It's just odd choice. Well, maybe it's just a choice of word. Right, so there is one more thing I'm going to do on the match in a second, but does either of you can either work out roughly what might be the highest scoring match, men's match that I was at? It's not that many years. I mean, it's a few years now, but it's not that many years. Someone did laughably say, oh, Swindon away or Stockport away this year. And I was like, well, first of all, they were both away, so no, I wouldn't have been at them. And they would have only matched eight goals.
Trying to think of what a, did we have any nines?
Have we had a 5-4? I don't think we've had a 5-4, have we?
I don't think we've ever had a 5-4 at home. We definitely had one away.
I'm going to tell you, it wasn't away match, this was.
It was away?
It was.
Yeah, it wasn't
5-4. Dartford then.
Dartford, yeah, it was 6-3, wasn't it?
6-3, yeah.
Yeah. I said that to someone, they went, no, it wasn't 6-3. And I'm like, I swear to God, it was 6-3. I wish you had told me that before I did my video. But yeah, Dartford 6-3, which was insane game of football. Even more insane than yesterday. So I think there were people still sitting down. It was 2-1 or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, so I'm going to give you two a little teaser of one of the things I've got for next year. Aren't you lucky? Huh? So hopefully this will play. Or I have to press play. Come on.
I couldn't hear anything there.
Oh, no. You couldn't hear it? Really?
It looked pretty.
Oh, no.
Couldn't hear it. Really. Sorry, annoying. Mate.
That's annoying. I was pissing myself as well. That's going to look great on the
YouTube. Hey, you enjoyed it.
That's yeah, YouTube video, me just sitting there quietly for 50 seconds, witting myself laughing. That's going to be amazing. Let me see if I can find it on here now. Basically, I did used to do the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And mm-hmm. then I realised very quickly that's two negatives. And obviously I am Mr. Positive, so I can't be doing two negatives. So I changed it to the good, the bad, and the funny. And I did an edit. Obviously, Dan, you know that. So... Now you see why I was giggling to myself. So Dan, what was your good, bad, and funny from Saturday, yesterday? It doesn't have to be in the match. It could be for a long day. Yeah, you've just proved one of my points that I'm going to be warning guests coming on that I'm going to ask this question.
this makes for great material, doesn't it? Great content this while someone sits there thinking. Quick fire, let's see. I suppose good. Just the second half performance, the fact that we stuck to it, we didn't give in, you know, the lads just went for it. That was good. The bad, obvious, the final whistle. The funny. There was a fair bit of that actually afterwards, back once we'd kind of all got a couple of pints and kind of got over that initial, certainly back in London when we had a beer back in London, a certain, not me, but one of the party managed to, as I think I tweeted, managed to have their glass, their lens pop out of their glasses twice in 2 minutes in a boozer, which had us all searching around with our phone torches on the floor. For it, found it, popped it back in, and it just popped straight back out again. And we had to do the whole thing again. And everyone in this pub in up in Euston is looking at us, going, "Who are these dickheads?"
What are they doing?
While we're sort of like all around on the floor with phone torches, trying to find a glasses
is this
lens.
Some kind of new TikTok craze. What's going on? What are they doing?
Is this some sort of one of those weird crowd mob things or something? Should we be joining in?
It put you on mute, Paul, so you'd have to come off that. But you've got a more limited range of options. you can't say good is the second half, the bad is the first half. That's shocking.
Right. No challenge. No, good. I was going to go the second half performance. That was good.
Yeah.
The bad, I mean, I wasn't there. but a football stadium so far out of town that has DGI's as its place to go for a beer before is just everything that's wrong with modern football, in my opinion. It's just, I mean, just rubbish, absolute rubbish. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why I didn't go. Funny, I mean, obviously not a lot can happen when I'm sat there looking at three screens for 3 hours, but I did enjoy. I'm going to claim Dan's because I was reading Dan on Twitter, so, and that made me chuckle about the glasses. So I'm claiming
the glasses. All right, fair enough, fair enough. Well, mine was the good was, I think, Juki's first goal. It was from a stupid angle. The bloke,
a cracking finish, actually. I watched it back today, and I was like, bloody hell, how he's got it in from there, I do not know.
Yeah, he's not scored from us. He's not even assisted, I don't think. And what's he doing? Scoring from that angle is ridiculous. But yeah, really, really, really good.
Are we calling that deliberate? Is that what?
Watching him do it, I absolutely think
you had a better angle actually for the stand.
The FIFA high capper we were on. It's almost like sensible soccer at some point. I was watching from above. Bad. I'm going to go into the smoke bomb / flare thing. Annoying little bits just after I praised them all saying they're good boys. Funny was having a pint at TGI Fridays where families are out having their Sunday, their Saturday treats, and they're invaded by football fans who apparently they had no idea that we're bringing that many, which I don't think we had much idea that we're bringing that many, to be fair, until quite late. The lady I spoke to was like, you know what, you guys are fine. They had to do plastic glasses and a few people were whinging. And she's like, it's a licensing thing. We have to because we're so close to the stadium. And she's like, I know you lot are going to be fine because all of you seem nice. But she goes, a couple of weeks ago, we had people throwing glasses all over the place and knocking over tables and everything. I'm like, how can you do that? I mean, all they'll do is go, yeah, we're not serving football fans. Get out. That's it. So, yeah, that it was funny having to have a drink in TGI Fridays. And look forward to the mortgage repayments when they come through. So we're going to finish up very quickly. There is the final table for results. I only did the top 25. There were more, but they kind of were all getting less than 40-odd points, so they clearly weren't playing that regularly. So a couple of high points to have a little look at. We've got MB and RB, both joined late, but they've got 25 and 29% hit rates, so they are definitely ones to look for next season. We've got Rory here on 18, who is my zero correct results buddy. I beat Coxie, so that's really, really important. But there's me, 83 points and not one correct result in 55 games. I think that is a record I can be proud of.
The
knowledge man. just above me there is Jenny, Slickers and Kickers. Then we've got, a few more people. Top five is Alistair and Toothman. It's Neil. Chalmers on 124. Andy on 133. And Darbinator out in front on top, 137.
So come on.
I think Andy did go for a draw, obviously not a 4-4 draw. So congratulations, Paul. You win. And there will be a cup on its way to you. And I mean a literal cup.
Literally,
it's going to be a cup. Yeah, it's going to be a mug. Yeah, you win the mug.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I mean, I take no pleasure from predicting us to lose and draw for the last 5 months. Well, I do a bit. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to next season adjust your strategy because we'll win games. The only fly in that ointment is in if Morecambe get done before the end of this season. I think if they do get a deduction in the summer, it will be nothing to do with us anymore. So I don't know what the cutoff date is, but that is not even a hope really to pin on. It's not like a crappy club like Swindon going bust. That's Morecambe, they're all right. So don't forget, guys, the votes are in for the podcast pots, player of the season. And also, as we have mentioned, next week is the fans game. I've got some exclusive little merch there. I don't know if they're selling it, but I've got it anyway. So we are pretending to run around and play football. Some of us are pretending a lot more than others. That's me. I think I've only joined to make everyone else feel better. But we haven't got a game to look forward to. The diary is empty. There is no more, but we will be back to do a season review. But for now, this episode of Sutton Podcast is over. We appreciate your attention. I still haven't replaced it, but I've got loads now. Do give us your feedback and suggestions. There is going to be some changes going over the season, and there will be more of the crappy jingles. I cannot believe how many people have really went, yeah, they were quite fun. Annoyingly fun, but they were fun. So I've got, okay, I can do crap. I'm fine. I'm in my happy place now. So like, subscribe, share on all of the social medias. Give us a shout. But until next time, thank you as always to our sponsors, Lucky Star Gin. Big thank you to today's panel. We've got Dan and Paul. Thanks, cheers, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as I say, next up, barring any celebrity jumping in, we will have, it's actually next Saturday, otherwise it will clash with the fans game on Sunday. I might have mentioned the fans game, I'm not entirely sure. But we will have on Claire, Joe, and a new guest, George, on. But if anyone else fancies it, give us a shout and we will join you into the therapy session. Take care and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye. United! 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.